Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
7 minutes before the top of the hour, and you're tuned to the Toolbox. This weekend, it's another Rock Block weekend. We're going to double dip and triple play songs from the Classic Rock Chronicles. And remember, when you hear Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Sometimes Young, just be the ninth caller to win tickets to see David Crosby live at the Fox Theater. Plus, you'll qualify for our grand prize, a piece of David Crosby's liver, after he dies, of course. And hey, if you're sitting in traffic on the 5 right now, you might be wishing you were dead. Dusty Rhodes is coming up at 5 after to get you out of that mess. Right now, let's dig back into the first incarnation of Fleetwood Mac. This is pre-Lindsay and Stevie, pre-Christine, even pre-sentimental gentleman Bob Welch. This is Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac. This is the Toolbox, and this is how you play a cowbell.
I can't help about the shape I'm in. I can't sing, I ain't pretty, and my legs are thin. But don't ask me what I think of you. I might not give the answer that you want me to.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is The Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, legendary stuntman Robbie Knievel, calls in. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Dennis Miller joins us for a round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, also the son of a famous daredevil, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing this pod with another human being. Thank you. And good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And I want to thank TrueCar, TrueCar.com. Oh, wait, Paul Bryan. Sorry, Paul Bryan.
Hurtful of all.
Chinese, Japanese, dirtiness. Come on, read the tweet.
TrueCar, go to TrueCar.com, download that app, LifeLock at LifeLock.com, enter our Adam. Simply Safe at SimplySafe.com. All right.
I'm like Willie Mays Hayes at the beginning of Major League.
Yeah.
Shit, I've been cut already?
The great Dennis Miller shall be calling in a moment. We shall be playing some Rotten Tomatoes, which is my favorite game. And let's see, stuff to complain about. Can we, in a world, and you guys may have experienced this, where we always talk about, I always talk about this notion of, could we just get it, could we just pick it up a bit? I was crawling, I had to be in early this morning, that meant traffic, that meant crawling along the 134 freeway, only to pass the freeway sign with the generic slow it down, which is...
Already happening.
Can do. Way ahead of you.
Way ahead of you. And also, in a place with the worst traffic in the world, should slow it down ever be what's on top of your expensive electronic freeway signs? And could you do less with more? Mm. If you think about those freeway signs...
Yeah. Captive audience.
Can you guys find me an example of less with more? Mm. The freeway signs... In Los Angeles are every quarter mile. They're huge, expensive, digital, computer-run freeway signs that probably hold up to 60 characters or something. You can put whatever message you wanted on it. And so far, we got slow it down.
Yeah. Mostly stuff we're doing anyway.
Or, against our will.
Yeah. It's not
our choice, we are, and we, there's the slow for the cone zone and click it or ticket, all stuff we've already done.
Oh, a toddler got abducted in Whittier.
There's that. Yeah. By his biological father, by the way, who's in the country illegally. But anyway.
Abducted.
We couldn't do less with more.
It'd be tough.
If corporate America got hold of those signs, they'd be going berserk. With those signs, if Nike or Pepsi or somebody got hold of those signs for 1 month, they'd get more advertising and more messages and more anyway.
More revenue.
More revenue. All right. So it's a disaster.
Remember the old Good Sports episode where they went over the, I think it was Brazil, who made all the stadiums and then used them once and now they're all in disrepair because, remember, for the Olympics.
Yeah, real sports.
I think it was Rio.
Was it real sports?
It was real sports.
Oh, sorry,
it was
sports. Yeah.
Damage check we're talking
Thanks
about.
For the plug, but I get it.
The almost as good real sports.
Yes.
They profile, I think it was Rio de Janeiro, but someone built an insane amount of huge stadiums, and now they're just monoliths.
That would definitely be in the running.
Yeah. Well, it's
less
that
more.
Right.
When the people are impoverished, mm-hmm. or in our case, sitting in traffic, mm-hmm. it's that much more glaring that you're wasting this, whatever.
Punished.
I have, and you guys tell me if this has happened to you. I pull out of this place, I turn right, there's a two-lane highway, and then I go right to get on the freeway. Three times, fool.
How many times?
Three times in the last 4 or 5 days. Someone has been sitting alone by themselves in the right lane with nobody in the left lane and no cars coming the other direction, and they ain't turning. They're going straight. But I am turning, and it's a long goddamn signal. Mm-hmm. Yep. Could we at least start coaching fuckers up to go into the left lane if you're all by yourself and you're traveling down this highway and there's nobody else around? Then just settle in the left lane if and you're going straight.
Yeah.
If you're
going to
turn
lane.
If you're going to turn right, then go into the right lane and turn right. So then I have to pull behind the person who's sitting alone in the right lane. I got my blinker on. I'm being mocked by the zero cars in the left lane, and I'm waiting for this signal to cycle. How about just that simple message? And then why couldn't we get that message across? I feel like that's easily doable. It would involve pouring no concrete, no shovel-ready jobs, just a simple message, which is, if you can, don't cut off anybody or whatever. When given a choice, how about you just live in that left lane? And even if you come up to a signal and there's one car in the left lane and no cars in the right lane, then you'd just be number two in that left lane.
You'll get through.
Leave that right lane open, especially with the freeway there, because 85% of the people are turning right and getting onto the freeway. Mm-hmm. But you've just decided on your own to sit in that right lane by yourself, not going anywhere. What is that? And couldn't we solve that with information?
Lack of awareness.
Yeah, exactly. We talk about awareness campaigns. How about an awareness campaign for awareness?
Yes. It's so meta.
All we want is for people to wake up and not pull up dead-minded into the that right lane. Mm. That right lane's for people to turn.
Well, I can tell you who is wearing his Stay Woke button on the lapel of his blazer right now, Dennis Miller.
Hey, Ace, I just pulled over to the right-hand side of the road to do this interview. I'm sitting
No!
In
no!
Dennis, no!
You're doing it wrong!
Stay woke. Stay woke, by the way. Does that just mean you're meth head?
Stay awoke.
That's right.
I don't know between woke and meth head, which is a bigger aspersion to cast.
Well, today's show is a little redundant because we have Dennis Miller and then his doppelganger in life and career, Robbie Knievel. So
should have thought that one out.
We should have thought that one out because it's kind of a redundant booking. We'll play the Rotten Tomatoes game. Robbie Knievel quietly has done some crazy jumps on motorcycles that in a way far exceeded his dad, although his dad had old equipment, and a lot of it was based on the amazing equipment that Robbie had. But Robbie's done some crazy, crazy jumps. Dennis, can you hear me? Oh, something.
Wire crossed.
Oh, that's kind of cool. All right, I'm going to put him on
it's
hold
so
for
charming.
A second. Do we have a Robbie Knievel jump building to building, which is a... The jumping building to building we've discussed in the past.
I've seen it on Fast and the Furious.
I was going to say, has he done it on a horse? Let me know when.
Travis Pastrana has done it. It's a if you miss, you die kind of jump. It's not if you miss, you get injured. It's if you miss, you die. I think Dennis is back. Dennis?
Yeah, well,
there's something going on somebody's
with
your
on the walkie.
Line. Are you at home?
Yes, I'm at home.
Huh. All right. Well, it just ceased.
There was a little breaker breaker.
That's right.
You ready?
I know. I heard some...
Lines being tapped for sure.
Should we hang up and call Dennis back? or do some
line?
Version of that?
We'll play the
yeah,
song.
Let's try that.
Yeah, play the song, call him back.
Let's try that. All right, hang on a second, Dennis, or don't hang on. Let us just hang up and call you back. Let me find Robbie Knievel jumping from one building to another building and talk to him in a second, and we'll play the Rotten Tomatoes game with the great Dennis Miller. Are we not ready with
Robbie? We have him. Okay. We had three. We just making sure we put the right one up.
Well, we're talking about the one that scared him the most, yeah. I think. So we'll go with that one.
They've asked to move a couple of hay bales out. We talked about that landing space being so very limited.
It's going from one building to another building.
Oh, my God.
And he always just slides through hay bales.
Just, wow.
The problem with going building to building, and I don't know the buildings there, it doesn't matter if they're 8 stories high or 14 stories high, whatever. If you miss, you miss. And if you miss, you don't have to miss. All you have to do is foul a spark plug on your way up the ramp to take off and have the thing sputter twice, and then you miss. All you have to do is have one chain link come loose and have the thing jump the sprocket, and then you die.
Or a millisecond of hesitating that you're not even aware of can screw up your whole game.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So we will get Dennis back on line 5. Yes, Max Pata? Yes. Dennis?
Ace, I am at home, but I didn't tell you I'm living in a tent on the berm of the road at Laguna Seca.
Oh, man.
That, now it makes sense.
Oh, and I love that about you. All right, you ready to play the Rotten Tomatoes game, Dennis?
Ready to rock, and is Robbie really there right now?
No, he will be phoning in a little bit later.
I thought he might be there with us.
Well, he's
a big fan of his old man.
I am too. He's up at the Corkscrew at Laguna Seca, actually. So if you wave your arm, he'll probably see you. Yeah.
Oh, there he is, Robbie.
The Rotten Tomatoes game is presented by TrueCar.
Listen to that noise. It's a high falsetto.
And the gang makes their picks, guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus 5.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. We the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
By the way, Dennis has a one-hour special, Fake News, Real Jokes, and is available as we speak on iTunes and Amazon and Google Play. And if you're going to Amazon, bookmark us and click on through. All right, let's do the theme. What do we got, Dawson?
Well, since we got Robbie Knievel on the show later, we're going to do a round of films that featured memorable motorcycle stunts.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my
God.
Oh, great.
Thanks. Okay, yeah.
And if we're going to talk about motorcycle movies, we got to mention the King of Cool. In 1963, he starred in a movie that had everything. Nazis, Triumph, Baseball, 1963's The Great Escape.
I have seen this.
That's funny because Dawson said Triumph like it was a triumphant return, but
right.
I think he meant the bike. Probably whoever wrote that meant the bike. He was, I think, famously, he was riding a Triumph Interceptor or something, whatever it was, a Victory or whatever the Triumph was. And I think as film lore would have it, he was jumping the fence in 1944, but the bike didn't come out till 1951 or something like that. It was a bike that Steve liked to ride, and nobody was going to know the difference until I started.
And you know, that type of barbed wire fence wasn't invented till 1956. Eh?
That's right.
Hold on. It's controversial.
By Obama. People don't know that.
Thanks, Obama.
When he was home in Kenya, shortly after he was born, he'd invented this razor wire, and he was working on a pepper gas as well.
Jesus.
All right. Everyone loves this movie, right?
All-time classic.
We laugh about the name, The Great Escape, because no one ever escaped.
It's damn near perfect.
Everyone got caught and killed, right?
Oh, did they? Spoiler alert.
Well, it's called The Great Escape, but out of the 12 guys that were trying to get out of Colonel Klink's place, two of
one?
Them, I don't know how many survived.
There was actually three. There was Charles Bronson and the cat named Willie in the rowboat, and James Coburn on a bike with his attaché case on the back. Those are the only three.
There you go.
Oh, well, that's why we have Dennis on this program. All right, the critics like this, right?
I have to imagine so. Right. Like I said, all-time classic.
But now,
Ryan, shut up.
Now, do we have it?
That said, I hate it.
Do we have it in the...
Geez, it's so so far back, though. Were they giving numerical ratings? I'm trying to think.
Well, they were giving thumbs up or thumbs down.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The thing is, Rotten Tomatoes kind of decides whether something's positive or not.
Mm. Well, there's a tricky little chasm there between, I'm sure it was thought to be great then, and has it fallen into ridicule now with the Rotten Tomatoes crowd? So that, you have to factor that into your algorithm.
What are you going with, Dennis?
And by the way, I just heard Mueller now says Trump was born in Kenya.
Oh, wow. Jesus.
As we speak. I would say I'm going to give this... How can you not give this a 93?
93, you said?
93.
All right.
93.
I'm swinging for the fences. I'm saying 100.
Wow.
It's a great movie.
Gina?
I said 89.
I went 91. I just figured it was in the 90s.
One of you guys is right on.
Mm-mm.
And it's nobody in that room.
Oh.
The Great Escape is certified fresh at 93%.
Nice.
Strong out of the gate.
There's three bad reviews for this movie? This is an all-time classic.
Yeah. Like I said, though, some people would view it now as quaint, boring. But that's the only reason it's not 100, because it's a killer film.
Yeah.
All right.
Dennis. You know we need... You know, they have this place. I'd like to go there. They have this place called sort of L.A. Unified Teacher Purgatory, a sort of big blimp hangar down by the airport.
The rubber room.
We can't fire anybody, but we don't want them molesting any more kids. So, listen, Bob, we're mixed because you did ejaculate onto a cookie and then feed it to an eighth grader.
Yeah, that is.
So that is grounds for firing. Sure. On the other hand, our hands are kind of tied.
I am in the union.
We are in the union. Yeah. So how about this? We'll put you in a place where you can only feed the cookies to adults and you'll get full pay.
Okay. The cookies.
All right.
With ejaculate or?
Surprise me.
Oh, dealer's choice.
Fair enough.
Just bring the USA Today with you, and we'll just have you check in every day at 8 a.m., and we'll let you go at 3:30.
I got to be honest. That sounds very fair.
I would like to take the three rotten reviews, the critics that gave the three out of the 40. Out of 45 reviews, three were rotten. I'd like, and we have this in many other places, many other times this comes up. The Godfather, there's one guy who hated it, and the other 900. Let's create some sort of safe house for them.
Okay.
Let's put them in purgatory, and then a timeout, and a reviewer's timeout, so they can't affect any other movies.
It's good.
Thank you.
One thinks, though, that if somebody's poisoned enough to write a bad review of The Great Escape, they're incapable of ejaculation.
Oh, that's also true. That's fair.
Yeah, and I think you're also kind of mixing my metaphors, but fine. Here we go.
Mixing them with a mortar and pestle.
That's right.
Heavy set of gloves.
Here we go.
Our next movie features everyone's favorite spy, who in this film rides a motorcycle across rooftops in Istanbul before catching a train and then being shot off that train. It's 2012's Skyfall.
This is
one of my favorite James Bond movies.
007.
Nobody cares, Brian.
People love it. And we talked about the new one where he's pee-whipped and rolling Aston Martin.
Is this the one that ends up in the old Munster house out in Wales or something?
Yes, this is that one.
I don't think that's
true. Javier Bardem's in this one.
Is this the third one or the second? Or of his?
Daniel Craig? This is the third. You know, first was Casino Royale, then it was Quantum of Solace, then it was this movie.
Okay, I don't know anything about this movie.
This was Sam Mendes.
I didn't see it, but I think the critics like the new Bond. But I don't know, and usually the trays or the trips don't work out that well. All right.
There was one after this, too, the most recent one, Spectre.
Dennis, what do you think?
Well, first off, I would say the Turkish music is so shitty, you'd rather have the kid upstairs riding a motorcycle across the roof than playing his stereo too loud. And secondly, I would say I don't remember them loving this one in an odd way. I liked it, and I seem to register that I was a little surprised they didn't like it as much. So I'm going to say 75.
Mm-hmm.
I took a bold stab. This is a fantastic movie, one of the best Bond movies, possibly top 10, maybe even top 5. I said 97.
Wow.
It's excellent.
Gina Gray?
All right, I never saw it, but all I remember about Skyfall is that Adele's song. Skyfall. Yeah, I think it won a lot of things. That's all I remember from it, so I said 83.
You know my theory about gals who are heavy set, but their face doesn't get fat?
She has a chiseled
face. Nice jawline.
Yeah. Right. And so every record album is just your chiseled face and not your fat ass.
Put up Adele's record album. It's
the Kirstie Alley effect. You pound on the weight because when we see a picture of ourselves with the double chin and the puffy face, we go, oh man, I got to lose it, man. But if your face always looked chiseled and every picture just looked chiseled, then you just get more billowy clothing and you get by. Adele's in my Kirstie Alley.
Eat all you want, lady.
Eat all you want, lady. Department.
You are feisty today.
There you go.
Every picture.
God, she's gorgeous.
Chiseled.
Every picture of Adele is just from just below her, right where her chin cuts off to right where her hairline begins. But there's no fat ass pictures of her.
Contoured the shadows.
It's beautiful, right?
Yes. Why?
So if you're Adele and you're looking at your record album, you go, why would this person lose an ounce?
No, why would you?
Why would you?
Okay.
I've been to an Adele concert. I'm not ashamed to admit. Fantastic performer.
Right.
Fantastic.
Huge ass. Okay. I wrote down 82. I have no idea.
Skyfall is certified fresh at 92%.
Holy shit.
It's really good, you guys. It's one of the best.
Everybody's right in there. Wait a minute. Who won 75?
I was 17 off there. Oh, okay. I picked up -5 at the beginning. So
that helps.
Well.
It's true.
You're in there.
Yep. All right, here we go. Everyone's still in the thick of things.
In 2007, Johnny Blaze performed a death-defying 100-yard jump. It was a stunt that would have made even Robbie Knievel golf clap. Field goal post to field goal post, 100 yards.
No, Dawson. Field goal to field goal. If they'd said post, I could look the other way. Sorry.
Yeah, that's what it says here. It was so badass, though, that America wanted more. And America got it in 2011.
What?
The movie is Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance.
I don't even know what the words are that you just said the last 30 seconds.
Okay, let me explain something. Dennis is probably not privy to this. And Max Patty, you got to find a clip from the first one. Look, when I watched a movie, Road Trip, it's a comedy. And when Tom Green says to Sean Michael Astin III or whoever.
Esquire.
Sean William Scott.
Yes. When he says, oh, the bridge is out. We have a Ford Taurus. The Ford Taurus weighs 1,800 pounds. It's going to be traveling at a speed of 50 miles an hour. A Ford Taurus weighs 3,700 pounds. You're off by 2,000 pounds. It's a comedy. This car guy can look the other way.
So let it go.
I let it go years ago, obviously.
Clearly.
You have been clinging to it.
I purged it from my brain. But when you're not doing a comedy and you're talking about a guy jumping a motorcycle from, first off, field goal to field goal, field goal to field goal. Field goal is what you do. Goal post, the goal post is what it is.
Right.
Field goal is the action, but the goal post is the...
Yeah. A field goal is like a touchdown.
Right. It's like saying a touchdown versus goal line to goal line. But anyway, 300 feet. They keep yelling 300 feet. Football field obviously is 100 yards, which is 300 feet. But in 1973, they moved the goalpost to the back. So it is not the length of the field. It's the length of the field plus 60 feet, 30 on each side for the end zone. They mention it 5 times in this film. No one says jack squat. Who, why? How?
Easily correctable, easily verifiable, easily
Googleable.
Well, considering the first film was made in, 06, a full 30 years after they moved the goalposts, why? All right, here we go. Sorry. Eva Mendes. Oh. Is this Eva Mendes?
Yeah.
Yeah, here she goes.
Johnny Blaze, thank you for talking to us before your big jump. No one has ever attempted such a distance before. 300 feet from field goal to field goal.
It's goalpost to goalpost, and it's 306. It's actually a longer jump than...
Why are you down-rounding?
Set this up. Who writes this? How does that happen?
Ghost Rider wasn't was, a more written
that
film.
That was not the biggest problem with Ghost Rider.
Well, it was for this motorcycle-loving podcaster.
Other than that, totally factual.
I did not. I've seen the first one 700 times.
God.
I've not.
Is it ironic? I know nothing about these movies.
I think they're just bad. This one is just bad.
Okay. Oh,
I don't know why they made. I don't know why they made this second one.
I heard you talking about it so much. Guys, you're getting a lot of press.
And who wrote Field Goal Post? Have them fired.
Go for it.
All right. I have my number written down. Go ahead, Dennis Miller.
I think the reason they made the second one is because Nick Cage had a payment due on his pyramid-sized crypt.
Yes.
New Orleans, if I'm not mistaken.
IRS came
down. Leakage in the basement since it was below sea level. I don't know how low you – I don't know if I can go below sea level on this rating. Ghost Rider 2 has got to be an 8, right?
Wow.
Yeah, I guess. It was written by Mark Steven Johnson. Now, I want to know who on our side wrote Field Goal Post to Field Goal Post. That's the person who needs to be fired.
Dylan.
Dylan, come on. Field goal to field goal. That's the joke. All right. Brian?
Similarly, I went much higher, actually. I said 18.
Oh, wow.
Much higher.
I was very generous then. I said 27.
I'm brimming with confidence. I gave it a 13.
Okay. Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance, is rotten.
What?
At 17%.
Oh.
Well, we were in the ballpark. Still close.
This is still any man or woman's game here.
Very close.
Very close. All knotted up.
I don't think Gina's seen one of the films yet.
Not one.
Her to be in there. It's beautiful.
Although it does work in my favor that way because I have no emotional attachments to any of these movies.
True. Yeah. And if we're talking about the original Ghost Rider, I'd give it 108%. All right, here we go into the championship rounds.
This film tells the story of an Argentinian biochemist and his commie buddy, Che Guevara, as they bike around South America.
Oh.
2004's The Motorcycle Diaries.
Damn.
Did you see this, Brian? I didn't either, but damn, it got a lot of press.
Yeah.
People love talking about this movie.
It did.
They love Che Guevara on the left. You know why he was so pissed all the time? He didn't have any profit participation in the T-shirt logo. And that really turned him against mankind.
Was this a book first? Yes.
They say yes.
So probably that was probably what it was one of those things. It's like you've heard a million things about it. It's kind of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. But did people like it?
I have no idea.
Well, people love Gael Garcia Bernal, and he's
they
started,
do.
Oh yeah, the ladies love him.
And now let's see if we can drill down on this a little politically. I think politically, we know that the critics lean a little left. Che Guevara was champion on the left, so maybe he got a little love. But I didn't hear anything about this movie, and I didn't. I just heard of it a lot, but I never saw it, and no one ever told me to see it.
I was going
to
say, I haven't seen a movie, but it's a movie like this. I base a lot of it off of, obviously, I do Bollywood, I do Film Vault, so I get a lot of, not requests.
Suggestions.
Recommendations. Mm-hmm. People say, oh, you got to see this. How come you haven't seen this? No one's ever said, you got to see The Motorcycle Diaries.
And it was based on a book that people obviously looked at and enjoyed. Okay. I have locked it in. Dennis?
Well, I do remember they ran into financing trouble halfway through, and he had to ride a Vespa at the back end of the film, which ate into the magic. By the way, you can see when... I love his name, but there you can tell when the gal sticks some guy. they get all precise with the name.
Who doesn't know Gael Garcia Bernal?
Can I say this quickly for anyone who wants to ride on the back of my motorcycle? If you're a dude and you get on the back of my motorcycle, I'm automatically bi. If you put your arms around my hips nice and tight, now I've gone gay.
You're common law.
But if you put your arms out like wings and pretend to fly, I'm now the bottom. So you can take both hands and put them on my shoulders, and that's it.
Or hold the back of your seat like
a man. Hold the back of your seat, because I just went from bi to bottom by you putting your arms out and learning to fly.
What if they grab your package for stability?
Oh, my God, Ace, you're hot today.
Because in this poster, the guy in the back is pretending to fly.
Oh, Oh, no. Don't
I'm sailing.
If I get on Leno's bike, I always sit back to back with him.
You go. You turn your back to
That's
him.
Weird.
Folds his legs. It's Indian style. All right. What do you say, Dennis?
Oh, motorcycle batteries. This is such a guess. I'm going to pull on the thread that you pulled on. That he's a leftist god, and most reviewers are leftists, so I'm going to give it, just because of that, an 80. Mm.
83.
86.
I went barely fresh at 61, because it was on a book, and sometimes they get disappointed when it doesn't live up to the book.
Good point.
Well, everybody's close except you, boss.
No.
Somebody gets a five-point deduction. Mm. The motorcycle diaries are certified fresh. At 83%.
Oh, damn it.
Needed that.
Damn it. People like this movie. The audience has it at 92. Still got his arms out on the back of the motorcycle.
I'm sailing.
I just love the idea of Che having to sit down and write Dear Diary at the end of the night when he's leading an uprising. And by the way, that's when revolutionaries really were revolutionaries. Now we have guys like Bill Ayers. Is there anything more painfully ironic than ending up a revolutionary on a pension? You never saw Guevara at a CVS counter arguing about a Lipitor copay.
And you never want to start a revolution with a Bread song playing in the background. All right, we're going to the last one, and ooh. God damn it, I just shaved. I just knocked myself 20 points off the mark there. But here we go.
Wait, Chris, yes or no? Am I in single digits? You are in single.
Oh,
damn it.
This movie's interesting, by the way, Motorcycle Diaries, because the critics have it at 83. I'm sure the top critics have it a little higher because of the theme. The people have it at 92. No one ever said to me, go out and see this movie.
Not once.
All right. And you hear the people reviewing the song.
For the future, scores will be revealed at the end of the game.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, how dare you.
Top critics. Max Zapata, top critics here, as I've mentioned.
Screwed the pooch.
All right, here we go.
Top is 80.
Here we go. Oh, went down. Here we
Our
go.
Last film is another sequel. This one took a while to reboot. It features some Dayglo motorcycle stunts that take place inside a virtual world. And also features a very weird, unsettling young CGI Jeff Bridges that no one really needed to see. It's 2010's Tron Legacy.
Oh, there it is.
There is a wide range of possibilities for this movie. A wide range.
Yeah.
It's always a bad thing when breakthrough technology is outmoded before the first showing of the film.
Yeah, I always remember the first one. And the first one was just sort of like, oh my God, it's a computer graphic. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah. It was a ride at Disneyland.
Because I'm old enough to remember when special effects were like fake boats in an ocean that looked kind of weird. Because remember that look of the miniature boat in the tank that always looked off. It was off, but you couldn't figure out exactly what was off about it.
The special effect was like rear projection when they were driving you.
Right.
Right.
And the behind them is
this movie got so much hype.
All about it. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
All About Eve, when George Sanders and they're walking back to the hotel in New Haven. That is the all-time worst rear projection because they've got like 2 seconds of rear projection that they put on a perpetual loop. So it's like a hiccup. You know, you see the same two storefronts click, same two storefronts, and they walk back to the hotel. That has to be the worst rear projection ever.
All right, now we get to Tron. Now, the problem with this is... It could be in the 70s, maybe even the 80s. I don't know. It could be in the 20s. I am off the pace, and I'm going to have to go bold with this because I knocked myself off the pace. All right, I'm locked in. Dennis, what do you say?
Jeez, this is tough because I think I'm in there with a shot. I remember they had to buy the technology because the movie was rather bland, I think. The technology... I'm going to say nobody wanted to be caught out not getting behind new technology, but it wasn't that good. So what's the bottom end of fresh? Is it
60, 59
is it
like or 60? Yeah, 60.
I'll say 60.
All right.
Did not see. My only recollection is I liked the trailer, and then I remember thinking not worth seeing, so I'll put it at 49.
Interesting. I didn't see it either. This was me playing it safe. I said 50. Oh.
I had to go big by going small. I needed a bold choice. I went 31.
Tron Legacy is rotten at 51.
Oh, wow. God damn it.
Single digits, still within reach.
What'd you go with, Brian?
49.
Oh, my God. Wow. Right in there. Jesus Christ.
This will be my second most impressive accomplishment in this game.
Mm-hmm. This game. How about this game of life?
That's what I meant.
Okay.
Gina Grad coming in at a score of 27. Okay. Congratulations.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you.
Put you on the podium.
All right.
Adam Carolla. You essentially doubled Gina Grad's score. Congratulations for a 58 and fourth place.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, not pretty.
We're going to create another podium for you just outside the studio, though.
Well, to be fair, when you're off by 20 and you know you're out of it, then you got to do a crazy swing for the fence move, and that'll strike you out every time.
I admired it. I admired it.
Do I remind you of a slightly younger you?
By around 2.5 days.
All right, here we go. Sorry.
Bald Brian, your score came in double digits.
No.
Dennis Miller, your score is a single digit repeated. Oh. 33 for third place. The win going to Bald Brian with a 10.
Oh, that hurts. That hurts so bad.
He's playing against himself, ladies and gentlemen. Yes.
You can never tell. I would have thought you would have been all over the motorcycle category, but that just goes to show you the built-in greatness.
Why you got to play the game.
Yeah, and it's also, we're showing a picture of me riding a wheelie on a motorcycle from my youth. It's also why being familiar with something, I feel like the neighbor knows whose kids are smoking pot more than the parents of the kids who live 100%. In the same house with them.
100%.
Yeah. Dennis Miller's got the 1 hour specials, got the podcast, the Dennis Miller Options, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. Great speaking, my friend.
Nice talking to you guys. Have a nice weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do.
Presented by True Car.
All right. Well, let me tell you about True Car as long as we're there. Everyone has stories. The cars all have stories. You want to get the story of your car? You want to put a price on your car and the stories? True Car. You can find out what your car's worth. And when it's time to sell it or trade it in, get the price. Just go to True Car. Enter your plate number, and your car's details are going to pop up. Then you answer a few easy questions. Once you're finished, you get a true cash offer sent to you in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer or cash it out, or you can trade it in. So we've all figured out that if you need a new car, you want a new car or a different car, like a used car, new or used, you go with True Car. But now you turn in your old car, you pick up your new car or used car with the True Car. So when you're ready for a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car. True cash offer not available in all states. All right. Yes.
I need you, Adam Carolla.
Mm-hmm.
Easy.
So I just moved.
Yes.
And I'm really happy. The house is awesome. I'm super excited. We moved over. Thank you. We moved over the last 2 days before work. Got here just in time. And I got one of those. I ordered on Amazon one of those Black & Decker sets of, you know, power drills and screwdrivers because I just need a you know, just an array of everything just to have. Mm-hmm. Well, two things came in the package, and I have no idea what they are. Can you help me?
Mm. Yes.
All right. One of them I put in I double bagged because I didn't want to shiv anyone by accident or kill myself.
Mm-hmm. Can I venture a guess and see how close I get?
Oh, yeah.
Of course, you'll obviously know what they are.
When you pull them out.
I would assume.
You got a chub pack of tools?
Yeah, it's just like I should have taken a picture of it, but it looks almost like a kid's toy, like everything's in its like plastic place.
Right, right.
And everything's great, and a couple of pliers
like,
and wrenches.
Hey, it's your first home, here's what you're going to need.
Yeah, right. I don't need a lot, but I need the basics, but I have no idea. This looks like some medieval torture shit. I don't know what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know what that is.
Well, these. All right. You want to say what they are?
They're very pointy, sharpie. They look like mini metal oars with a very sharp point on the end.
When you need to drill a hole that's larger than like a little pinhole or, you know, like a regular screw hole, you put those. It's a boring bit, right?
I think they'd call it actually, you're a boring bit. This is a paddle bit, and they call these paddle.
Damn it.
Paddle bits, but they could also call them boring bits. We'll check it out.
Making the bigger holes.
So
right?
You shove it in there and just twist it around?
No, you put it on the end of a drill, right?
I'll never use that. I don't like it.
Goddamn Christ.
Hey, man. I don't like it. I don't like what I'm looking at.
And Christy's.
And I'm looking in the mirror.
I get like
there's more in here.
I've never seen like Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants or anything. But I don't go, what are pants?
Hey, man, I know what a drill is. I know what a hammer is.
That's what I'm saying.
I feel
like I've heard of this thing, but I don't know.
Are these the real people or are they pretending?
I've never seen that before. I've never seen
any of that. Are all the girls in the pants at once?
Oh, my God.
If you need to drill a hole big enough for like a little PVC pipe or wires or whatever, yeah. And not something for small, you know what I mean, for a screw.
Okay. Here's I'll drill down.
Will I ever use
Hold
this?
On.
That was good.
Will you
good
ever use it?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Well, no, not you. But here's the deal. Hold on a second.
I'm just pocketing them.
I will take them. The paddle bits, they're kind of cheap bits, and they're for drilling holes. They're not for drilling holes in metal. If you need to drill a hole in metal that's 5/8 or 3/4 or whatever, you could never use one of these.
Okay.
It's pretty much just for drilling holes in wood.
Okay.
It's not always about the size, Brian, although it helps. It's more about this is a cheaper – if you wanted to drill a 1-inch hole in wood – just in wood, and you wanted to buy a twist bit, a traditional type of drill bit, like you'd be picturing in your head, that bit would cost you four times.
How much?
Three times, fool! As much as this flat, or what we would call them, paddle bit, spade bit. Anyway.
Is that for drywall, too?
Yeah, although you traditionally wouldn't drill through drywall.
Well, if you need a pipe to come out from the bathroom or something.
Yeah. They traditionally use a keyhole saw or a hole saw. But anyway,
this is good. So I hate it, and I'm not going to use it.
These are paddle bits,
yes. Then the one more thing. It looks, I don't know what it is.
Or what we call paddle bits.
They look like little Russian nesting dolls of metal.
Oh, same thing.
Blade tops.
Yeah.
Are these related?
Yes.
It's for metal, right?
Yeah. Not necessarily. No. This is a hole saw. This is for drilling big bore holes. Again, you couldn't. Do it when you need to drill a hole that's 3 inches wide or 5 inches wide or whatever. You couldn't just get a big twisty bit that was 5 inches around.
Okay,
you get
a recyclerola, for example,
a hole saw. Yes,
okay.
and you have hole saws with diamond blades in them for like. Let's say you're drilling through your countertop. You have a granite countertop, and you want to put like a 2-inch hole to put some dispenser
or something big.
You'd use a. So this is these are all drilling. These are hole saws, and that's only half of the hole saw.
Thank you for letting me know. I'll never use any of those.
No, you shall not.
All right.
You will injure yourself if you do.
Gravely.
Now, if you want to know the scariest. I have done a lot of construction. I've taken a lot of chances. I've been on a lot of ladders with a lot of heavy beams and done a lot of stuff that you really shouldn't do. And fallen out of some windows and hung off the side of some buildings and made a mess and done some hairy, stupid, young, poor guy moves. But this, if you want to know this, the scaredest or most scarediest I've ever been, it's when I was working in Chatsworth. I was working at Tom Johnson's shop. He had a warehouse in the very back of an industrial center in Chatsworth back when there wasn't much going on. I would pay him some nominal amount. Maybe I'd give him $40 or something. And he would let me use his cabinet shop to do my cabinets for my side jobs. He'd knock off at 4 o'clock, 4:30, 5 o'clock. I'd come rolling in at 5 or 6 o'clock. And oftentimes just work till 3 in the morning. I'd lock myself in this 3,000 foot cabinet shop and just turn on the lights and work. And I would always clean up after myself and I would always leave him a few bucks. And one time I was there, I've told you guys this story before, but I was making some entertainment unit for somebody and I needed to like drill a hole in the back of the thing so they could pull their power strip through it or whatever it was. I need like an 1.5-inch hole. And I had a paddle bit like you have there at long, thin stem. And I started looking around for Tom's drill so I could drill this hole. And for some reason, I couldn't go on with this project. I had to drill the hole, and then I was going to put the top and the side on, but I needed to pre-drill the hole first, whatever it was. And I could not find this man's drill anywhere. Plug in, battery operated. He had it with him on his truck. And I'm trapped in the shop, and I can't move forward with my project. I do find a router. A router is the turn it on, and he's like, he shaped the wood and drag him in. You know what I'm talking about. But the point is, it's like when you turn it on, it's an explosion of power. It doesn't have a progressive switch. It doesn't rev up. It's just flip a switch and it's on. And you just hold it. It's like, meh. And I thought to myself, well, this thing turns and this thing's got a chuck in it. And I can take this long stemmed paddle bit and I can put it into this chuck and I'll turn it on and I'll drill it. Thing about the drill is the drill turns at a few hundred RPMs. The router goes from nothing to 50,000 RPMs immediately. And I was holding it alone in this guy's shop and I just turned it on and the bit went from upright to propeller blade immediately. Wow. It bent over and just started spinning while I was holding it in front of my chest. And I was like, if this thing flies off, I'm not wearing glasses or mask or I'm not doing anything. It's just spinning right in front of my face. And obviously it's gone south. It didn't go straight. It immediately propellered. And it's spinning right in front of me. And all I did was chuck the router in front of me. Yeah. And I was there alone. So if I was like, what, a stab me in the neck or
that's
whatever.
That would be that.
Wow.
All right.
So I imagine you broke it and had some explaining to do.
I can't remember. All I remember is just
you
being
understand.
Completely,
trying to kill me.
Completely alone and like almost hyperventilating.
Trying to kill me.
All right. Robbie Knievel is going to be calling in. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back with Robbie right after this.
The holidays are fast approaching. You know what that means. It's time to eat, drink, and fight with your family. For a limited time only, we're offering custom-built crates built by the hands of Adam Carolla himself with maybe a little help from the lackeys and Olga and the twins. Head to CarollaChristmasCrate.com now to pre-order the perfect present for the holiday. What's included? A custom signed and built box from the Ace Man himself. A custom If You're Offended by Christmas shirt. A signed Christmas card from Bald, Gina, and Ace. Two stemless Carolla drinks glasses. A bottle of each flavor of Mangria, a bottle of 33 Cabernet and Chardonnay, a Carolla Drinks ice mold, a Mangria tote bag, plus a Carolla Drinks wine stopper designed by Wolf Island Design Company. For a limited time only, this $300 value can be yours for only $200, and we'll eat the shipping cost. So for the Adam Carolla superfan and your family, head to CarollaChristmasCrate.com and pre-order now. And remember, if you're offended by Christmas, have some Mangria and shut the f*** up. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam. Long-time listener, first-time faller. I got drunk last night and fell off my porch and skinned my knee something awful. You know what I did? I didn't put Neosporin on it. Thanks for the great advice.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
All right. We're waiting to talk to Robbie Knievel, obviously, son of Evel Knievel, who's a son of Eunice Knievel.
Keep going.
I always laugh because that was like one of my first jokes I ever said on K-Rock on Kevin and Bean in like 1994. And I have no idea. It's not even funny, but it always makes people laugh. When I go, there's Robbie Knievel. There's Evel Knievel. There's mom Eunice Knievel. And for some reason, it's just, I don't know why it's funny. It's a rhythmic thing. Robbie's on line five. I've watched Robbie do a lot of jumps. I've watched his father do a lot of jumps. I've watched a special on his dad, Robbie Knievel.
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. You know, I watch repeats of Rocky, so I'm doing all right.
We will, Knievel Lucian, son of Evel. Did I get that right, Knievel Lucian, the book?
Knievel. Well, the Lucian, I don't know if you're right-handed, but thanks for the handshake. But Knievelution, yeah, evolution. Just following in my dad's footsteps for, God, since 1970 now? 8 years old, Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, it had
48, 48 years, I think. I don't know.
You've done the Grand Canyon jump. You've done the Caesars Fountain jump. I guess one of the nicest tributes to your dad is all the young guys coming up wanting to do the Caesars Palace jump as well. We just watched the Jockey Tower jump 13 stories in the air. Was that the scariest jump you've ever done?
Yeah, it was. You know, it wasn't the furthest. It was like 20 cars. But the buildings were offset. It took us forever to find the buildings. It was an idea of mine for years. You know, it was crazy. It's like if you land short on any jump, you're dead. But that one was a little more scary.
Well, landing short on a jump will kill you.
When you get 30 million viewers and they like what you're doing, that's kind of cool.
Is your dad seems like one of the most complicated and difficult guys on the planet to grow up with. What was that like? And what are your feelings now?
He passed away now, so he's not that difficult. Now I have puppets of my dad. I've always been a comedian. I had a puppet when I was a teenager, and I thought of this idea one day. I'm like, I'm going to have puppets that my dad made, one young and one old when he was on oxygen. So I've done my puppet show a couple times, but I want to put it on a big talk show and make them famous.
They
are funny dudes. And I can tell them what to say.
Was growing up with your dad traumatizing?
It was, you know, my dad was very verbal, and he was his own manager. He was his own, you know, promoter. There's no guy that, like, in 10 years became Evel Knievel overnight success. In 1967, he did his first ABC live show at Ascot Speedway in Gardena, California. And then he went to Caesars and changed his black to red, white, and blue. And he jumped Caesar's Palace. He's like, "Who? What guy's going to go down the strip and look at the fountains and go, I'm going to make you guys famous?" And he conned Jay Sarno into doing the jump, who started Caesar's back then. And all of a sudden, my dad was, after that crash, which was filmed by Linda Evans and John Derrick.
I remember that.
At the time, you know, it was like that crash was embedded in everybody's mind. So my dad became the biggest, fastest overnight success, and by 1975, his last big live jump over the 14 buses in Kings Island, Ohio, you know, he went from trailer trash to yachts, Learjets, and Ferraris. I mean, it was, it was kind of traumatizing in a way, and it was weird. You know, it went from nothing to Miller light beer sponsor to yachts, Learjets, and Ferraris. It was crazy. It was fun, though.
I'm thinking now, if he had made that jump, that Caesar's Palace jump, and there wasn't that iconic footage of him sort of just ragdolling and coming over the handlebars and all that stuff, I wonder, I mean, I think we'd know Evel Knievel, but in a bizarre way, crashing so horrifically at Caesar's Palace is what completely and utterly put him on the map. Can we geek out for a second here, Robbie? Because I spoke to your dad about it some years ago, but I didn't quite get the satisfaction I wanted, which is the equipment that he was jumping on. When you look at the landing ramps that he was on, literally made out of, you know, 2x10 planks over a van, you know, like the motorcycle he had with no suspension travel and everything made of steel and nothing made of lightweight aluminum or anything else.
True daredevil.
How much more insane was it with the equipment he was on?
Oh, it was crazy. For my dad to do what he did when he did it, that's what made him famous. I mean, I love to go watch the races, but if there's not a crash anymore, I don't care. I'll have a jump contest with any NASCAR driver in the world right now. If they put up a million, they can go first. I'm just saying, my dad's stuff was just the things he did back then. The Caesar's Palace jump was 120 feet. I jumped 150 with tighter circumstances on a better bike. But I go twice as high, twice as far, and hit the pavement twice as fast and twice as hard. And people don't get that. I'm recovering from two major back surgeries. I have 12 screws over an inch in my back, a cage, and two rods. I mean, it's just pain every day, and I hope I get a jump again, but I don't know. You know, I'm 56. My dad was like 37 when he quit. But his equipment, you're right. It was completely, that was like the biggest gap he ever tried. When he jumped 14 buses, that was like 115 feet. When he jumped Caesars in 67, 68, New Year's Eve, that was 120 feet. It was absolutely nuts. And that's why Evel Knievel became Evel Knievel, besides him being a self-promoter, a self-manager, and coming up with ideas that nobody would ever hear of. It was just crazy. It's like watching the repeat of Rocky right now. Why Rocky came up with these beautiful friggin' stories. I mean, it's just people come up with things and things happen, and they're incredible.
Well, you'll be flattered, I guess, to know that. So just quick to put a button on the equipment. When you see Evel Knievel crash, oftentimes he made the jump and he landed on the landing ramp. It's just the suspension was so bad and the equipment was so bad that when he lands, he then flies in the air again.
A little short, Adam.
Well, he hit
a little short. That's what happened at Caesars. That's what happened at a lot of his jumps. He always had a lot of good takeoffs, but his landings were terrible.
But
if he'd been on the safety deck and bounce off the bike.
If he'd been on something with a monoshock and 12 inches of travel, he may have made it. I will say this.
You know, my dad never did drugs, and maybe he should have.
I will tell everyone this, but I'm glad to tell Robbie Knievel this now. I've said it
Buddy,
before.
I got to plug my movie, Red Blood Snow. I'm going to kill all evil.
Red Blood Snow. When's it coming out?
Blood Red Snow.
Oh, sorry. Blood Red Snow.
It's coming out probably, it's going to take about a year to film. But I play a vigilante. I come out of the military. My family's lived in a small town for 150 years. My mom's dying of, you know, cigarettes and dementia and all that stuff. But I kill these people that kill my dad, overdose my daughter on drugs. It's a good script. It's been around out forever, but it just happened to pop into my hand. But that's what I'm doing. I got my puppet show with my dad, and I just did a book. It took me a year, called Knievelution, Son of Evel. And it's coming out next year, too, like January, February.
Well,
so I've been working on a lot of stuff, and I hope to jump again. I hope to have I got a big jump planned with the Grand Canyon, but I'm waiting for the right time, the right deal. You can't insult my friggin' intelligence because I grew up with my dad.
I shall not, and I will speaking to your dad, I've mentioned it before. I was playing 20 questions many, many years ago, driving to Vegas. You're in Vegas now. And you pick a celebrity usually or someone who's notable, and then people go, are they an actor? Is it a woman? Is she known for her beauty? Is she in a sitcom? And you drill down on it. I said, your dad is the best all-time candidate for 20 questions because the people say, all right, I have my first. Are they famous? Yes. Do they know who they are? Yes. Are they actor? Kind of. Are they in sitcoms? No. Are they in sports? Kind of. Are they a household name? Yes.
I'm going to know this person, right?
You're going to know them. You're going to know them. And you just get, and then you go, are they a comedian? No. Mm. Are they actor? Are they, in sports? Football. Baseball. Action star. You just keep going and going and going. You'll never get to Evel Knievel. It is the ultimate. Yeah. And it was actually in a movie, I think.
That's a good.
It was used in a movie. Name. And it works every time. Knievelution.
The number one rated show in the history of Wide World of Sport.
Was his.
He holds like 4 or 5. And Muhammad Ali and Frazier are second. Wow. But my dad had 50 million viewers back then. But we only had 3 channels, you know?
Yeah. Hey, Robbie, here's a question for you. With all the highs and the lows, big picture, happy Evel Knievel was your dad? Or let's say we just picked that dude, made a decent income, stayed married to his wife, and was sitting there watching you play Little League when you were nine.
Happy landings, Evel Knievel. Keep okay. the faith.
There you go.
Evel Knievel. Knievelution, Son of Evil, name of the book, coming out early 2019.
I make the puppet sing the song.
Well, let's hear it.
His name in every town. Is he for real or just a clown? Does he have wings? How can he fly? Is he a man like you and I? Everybody calls him Evel. Evel. Evel Knievel. You know, you can't forget that name.
Right.
It's spelled E-V-E-L.
Blood Red Snow, not out yet. Getting filmed.
So my cue.
But when it comes,
I'm gonna have a blast on that.
But when it comes out, you can come back on. Robbie Knievel, thank you very much.
Adam, hey, thank you, man. You have a good day and a happy Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Jesus Christ! Imagine Evel Knievel's your dad.
The thing about he mentioned overnight success, right? All the great success that Evel Knievel had. The crazy thing is he was a singular success. Can you guys think of another super famous person, like I said, a household name, who was the so famous for what they did? There was, like, if you said to anybody, name a famous daredevil, they'd say Evel Knievel, and they'd be hard pressed to think of another one. Like, he was so successful, no one else. Obviously, there's the Travis Pastrana's, and there are people who do what he does, but these are not household names. These are not the Evel Knievel who's bigger than, you know, he's in the stratosphere.
Well, isn't it? Who he is. Yeah, and isn't the reason, you know, when it comes to that kind of thing, he knocked the door down and all these other people came rushing through.
But I'm saying, so we don't know.
There's not
going to
be
people.
A one. There's not going to be a one Evel Knievel anymore. There's no. All kinds of motocross guys. And
no, but I mean,
but I'm saying, how rare is, like, we'll know about Andy Kaufman, but then we'll know about all the other sort of lesser Andy Kaufmans.
Right.
You look up Max Pat, I'm sure you already have it waiting for me. I think it was Viva Knievel, his feature film. There's an Evel Knievel movie where Hamilton, is it George Hamilton?
There is a George,
sounds about right.
George Hamilton played Evel Knievel in a big feature film. Was Evel Knievel, mid-70s or whatever. A very... Now, hold on a second, Brian. I'm going to tease this.
Okay.
But Evel Knievel was so big that he starred in a movie called Viva Knievel, but there was also a major star playing Evel Knievel in a movie, not separated by much time, maybe a couple of years.
Yeah.
Who can say, like, George Clooney's a big star, but there's no George Clooney, the movie where a guy plays George Clooney, and then a movie where he is George Clooney in a movie, and it's called Clooney.
The only possible one I could possibly think of would be Elvis.
Right.
But then there were so many, were so many other, you know, there was Carl Perkins, and there was so many, Lesser Elva, you know, I mean, Jackass was Jackass.
I love that band, Lesser Elva.
But then there were so many Jackass imitators.
What, all right, so you need to find out what year George Hamilton, played Evel Knievel in the Evel Knievel movie. I think it was just called Evel Knievel or something, and then there's Viva Knievel, but also a long list of who was in Viva Knievel, which will make your head explode when you hear about the cast. I'll buy you some time. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Better Business Bureau warns you to watch out for holiday scammers, people. Bogus emails with links to lookalike websites, social media gift exchanges. Look out. Plus, grandparent scams. Scammers targeting seniors, posing as family members, claiming to have urgent issues that require money. They're out there, and they come out during the holiday season. You do not want to put yourself out there, but let's face it, you're shopping, you're online, you're booking travel, your info is out there. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection has the power of Norton Security to protect your devices against cyber threats. So if you have a problem, their agents will work to fix it, but you won't have a problem because you'll have the industry standard. You'll have LifeLock, right, Dawson?
Of course, no one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but new LifeLock with Norton Security is the right choice to help look out for threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam for an additional 15% off your first year. That's promo code Adam for an extra 15% off at LifeLock.com.
Evel Knievel, 1971 with George Hamilton, and then Viva Knievel, 77 with... Wow. Evel Knievel. Two Knievel movies.
Holy shit. Listen to this cast. Evel Knievel, Gene Kelly, Lauren Hutton, Red Buttons, Leslie Nielsen, Frank Gifford. What are the other
Dabney
ones?
Coleman.
Dabney Coleman. Oh, man. And the list goes on and on. That's crazy.
It's crazy. And it's great.
Gene Kelly.
The beginning of Viva Knievel.
Gene Kelly.
It's Gene Kelly and Evel Knievel in the movie. The beginning of Evel Knievel. Viva Knievel. Sorry. He's like walking through a children's hospital. And it's this crazy thing where, like, I don't know, the nurse is like, you can't come in here. It's past visiting hours. He's like, okay. And he's like dropping gifts off at all the kids. He says, he just looks like an, obviously made himself look like an insane hero the entire movie.
Wow.
It's a bit puffy.
It's a crazy movie to watch. And the Evel Knievel movie with George Hamilton, you forget how young and good looking George Hamilton was in 1971. It's kind of a fun movie. Like I have no idea what it was on Rotten Tomatoes. It's probably not a great score, but worth a watch for a piece of 1970s filmmaking and a young George Hamilton. All right. Why don't we take ourselves a quick break and we'll come back and do the news with Gina Graff.
Corolla Drinks presents A Very Mangria Christmas. December 7th at South Bay Customs in El Segundo. Come and enjoy some endless rant, mangria cocktails, and shitloads of holiday cheer. Featuring The Smokin' Kills.
Just another Southern California.
Loxy.
Follow your woman through the wedding.
Sanguine and Shiny. And Roses and Cigarettes. As we raise money for Jenny Pagliaro's fight with cancer, with silent auction items like signed merchandise from Joe Coy, Brad Williams, Adam Ray, Craig Fitzsimmons, Joe Satriani, Steve Vai, Rode Microphones, and My Job for a Day. Friday, December 7th at South Bay Customs in El Segundo. More details at Corolla Drinks.
Don't feel the